Smoke Gets in My Brain. Written by Ruining Everything. Read by Opal Song. Fandom Mo Dao Zushi or The Untamed. Rating explicit. Relationships Lan Zichen, Lan Wangji. Also tagged for past Lan Zichen, Nie Mingchui. Background Jiang Cheng, Nie Huaisong, Wei Wuxian, Lan Wangji messing around. Brothers, two idiots, two lovers, two question mark? Cloud recesses, study arc. Sibling incest. Aphrodisiacs. And light mutual dubcon. As a treat. Part 1 of the Problematic Cloud Recesses Disciple Shenanigans series.
Paints her fingers with a glowless precision. He starts to notice empty bottles of gin and takes a moment to assess the sin she's paid for. A lonely speaker in a conversation. Her words are swimming through his ears again. There's nothing wrong with just a taste of what you've paid for. Say what you mean, tell me I'm right, and let the sun rain down on me. Give me a sign.
Even as he is doing it, Lan Zichen regrets the necessity of removing his brother from the room, where the Yunmeng and Nie disciples are in some sort of competition to see which of them can break the most rules in the least amount of time. There was a great deal of rustling as he opened the door, a clatter of something falling and rolling away, frantic whispering and a sudden cessation of the laughter that had drawn him in from the courtyard in the first place. The Yunmeng disciples are scattered in slightly improbable positions on one of the beds. Nie Huaisong, poorly disguising a giddy grin behind his fan. Jiang Cheng nearly overbalancing himself in his attempt to appear normal. Wei Wuxian is sprawled, dissolute, and relaxed. But that is nothing unusual. The air is thick with a particular incense, spicier than anything Lan Zichen prefers or that Mingchui has ever burned in his presence. Perhaps a Yunmeng preference. Wangqi's seat at the edge of the bed is slightly separate from the others, but not so far apart. One of his hands is reaching out on the bedspread towards Wei Wuxian, and Lan Zichen does not think it is deliberate. Perhaps it is only for balance, but he does not think so. He has eyes for his brother's gaze, and ears for what Lan Wangji has not spoken in the weeks since the disciples came to stay at Cloud Recesses. Wangji's posture is upright and correct, other than his slight lean to one side, but his face is flushed and his eyes hazy. They are all, now that Lan Zichen looks a bit more closely, looking a bit pink and rumpled. There is a suspicious mark on Jiang Cheng's neck. Nie Huaisong's braids are a wreck. He very nearly backs out again and leaves them to it. The 2 years between them feels like a chasm sometimes, and a bare breath at others. But it's certainly not so great an age gap that he doesn't remember fumbled, giddy explorations with the disciples of his own classes. The Lan rules are not so tightly woven that he couldn't find his way through them when sufficiently tempted to do so. Lan Wangji does not seem to have the same talent or predisposition for finding gaps where one can slip through strictures. It would not be a bad thing for him to have someone to show him. It would be pleasant to have more frequent sightings of the small, bewildered half-smile that currently rests on his brother's mouth. And yet, Sichuan lingers, and in the lingering, he finds himself frowning at an undercurrent in the air that shouldn't be there. He sketches a bright line in the air, testing what he thinks he senses. Ah, well. He takes a deep breath so that he does not yell or act rashly. No one appears to be acting against their impulses here, though with this sort of spiritual energy it is hard to be certain. And he does need to be certain. Wangji is his little brother, and Sichuan would burn villages to protect him, if such a thing were necessary. Wangji, he says, in the tone of voice that brooks no rebellion. Not that Wangji has ever tried to rebel. Come here, please. He will remove Wangji to safety, then come back and separate the others. They can be questioned in the morning when the influence wears off. Wangji comes to Lan Xichun's side amidst a chorus of suppressed mirth from the bed. Good night, Lan Chun, Wei Wuxian calls out. Irrepressible, even as Jiang Cheng hisses something low and mean-sounding in his ear. Lan Wangji cannot possibly giggle in response. Lan Xichun must have misheard. He leads Wangji out into fresh air, though the scent of the incense clings in his nose for several moments after they've gone. He sets someone to watch over the doors until morning. If the Yunmeng disciples want to continue chewing on each other's necks, so be it. But they should be kept inside for everyone else's safety, if not their own. No one needs to get dosed with whatever they bespelled. Lan Xichun assumes it was likely Wei Wuxian's wine, but perhaps that is uncharitable. Nie Huaisong's talents displayed so far do not match up with the promise Lan Xichun thought he sensed during the disciples' initial testing. Lan Xichun has been curious for some time about what may be concealed in the gap. A developing talent for erotic energy work would not be likely to emerge in the classroom, or be something Ming Chui would have put into a letter that might be seen by anyone's eyes. Ming Chui has written only letters to Lan Xichun for some time. They have not seen each other in too long. Lan Xichun misses him. He has a sudden, vivid flash of Ming Chui's head thrown back in laughter or pleasure, the length of his throat standing out for Sichuan to press his mouth to, as if he could taste the sound through Ming Chui's body. He never could, but not for lack of trying. He frowns and brushes the image away. This is not the time to think of such things. Even if Jiang Cheng's bruised neck stands before him as a vivid catalyst for the memory. Wangji is the priority now. Sichuan's longing for his own carefree student days can be folded away for examination at some other time. Wangji, he says, and extends a hand to indicate that Wangji should walk in front of him. Wangji steps forward into Lan Sichuan's side instead. One great step, somehow both graceful and wobbly like a new deer finding its first footing, and takes his arm. Brother, he says, the sweep of his eyelashes closing off his expression so that Lan Xichun cannot quite read it, and presses close to Lan Xichun's side. I am sorry you are displeased. They speak little on the short walk back to Wangji's room. Wangji keeps a close hold on Sichun's arm, but is otherwise steady, and Sichun is thinking. The courtyard is not the place for the discussion he wishes to have, about choices and clear-headedness when making them, about why Wangji apparently chose tonight to experiment with wine and kissing. Was it just tonight? Lan Sichun does not think his brother has been experimenting, playing the foolish kissing games that young men and women do, even in the cloud recesses, before this. But he supposes it is possible that he has been distracted, overlooked something important. Then again, it would not be unlike his brave, naive brother to fling himself wholeheartedly into something new, to tackle an armful of three unruly young men where one quiet, like-minded disciple would have done as a first experiment for most. Lan Wangji has never been like most people. Lan Xichun would never have wished for him to be. He is, he realizes quite suddenly, burning with curiosity as much as concern. However, the open courtyards are hardly appropriate. Also, his throat is strangely dry. They should go inside, have tea, and talk. He speeds his steps. Wangji keeps pace, but this time Lan Xichun is sure of it. There's laughter in his voice when he says, "Running at this hour? How shameless." When the door closes behind them, Wangji casts something with a loose wave of his hand that doesn't quite stick. It bounces off and falls in fragments to the floor. Xichun recognizes the fragments as a failed silencing spell and traces a fresh one over the door. His sticks, and Wangji murmurs thanks behind him. Xichun busies himself with heating water and setting out cups. He does not look up. He puts a deliberate space between this moment and the one he has just hauled Wangji out of. There is a soft clink and rustling behind him, as Wangji unwinds his hair and slips off his outermost robe and melts into a softer version of himself. One he had not been even for the Yunmeng boy. For Wei Wuxian, Lan Xichun chides himself. Wei Wuxian is important to Wangji. He arranges his words carefully before he brings them, and the steaming cup, to Wangji. He attempts not to be distracted by how reddened Wangji's mouth still is as he brings the tea to it. Did he bite his own lips? Did Wei Wuxian bite them? It's not an important detail, even if his mind has snagged on it somehow. He redirects it. "I'm not angry," he says. "You are not in trouble, but Wangji..."
"I was not coerced."
Wangji's voice is crisp and slightly offended, at odds with the soft slope of his shoulders, the rare vulnerability of his loosened hair tumbling down over a single thin layer of inner robes.
"Wei Wuxian told me. He told me."
Wangji pauses, as if collecting his thoughts or lost to a memory. Lan Xichun waits and attempts not to break the teacup with his involuntarily tight grasp on it.
"He stopped me at the door,"
Wangji goes on finally.
"Told me that they were playing, that I would not want to come in. What would happen?" "His mouth was..."
Wangji hides the sudden involuntary curve of his own lips behind his teacup. Lan Xichun hardly needs to be told what it was like to see a pair of kiss-bitten lips where they were not expected. "The room is quite warm," he realizes abstractly.
"I wanted to be kissed," Wangji says.
Lan Xichun cannot remember the last time Wangji was this forthcoming about anything he wanted. The wine, he supposes. It takes some of the Lan this way, makes them loose and talkative. He'd always assumed Wangji would be one of the ones who would simply withdraw and sleep, but perhaps he was wrong. He is aware that his mind is dancing around the topic at hand, that Wangji wanted to be kissed and he interrupted. Wangji asks for so little and deserves so much. Xichun has made an error. He did not understand. Wangji is closer now, and Lan Xichun is not sure when he moved.
"I would still like to be kissed,"
Wangji says, and his hand is very hot on Lan Xichun's cheek. Perhaps one of them has a fever, or they both do. He opens his mouth to ask if they should open the window for some cool air. His brother kisses him, as if that is what Lan Xichun had intended. He will not be sure, later, whether it was.
Wangji does not taste of wine. His breath tastes only of tea. Lan Xichun's brow tries to furrow. He is trying to think. But he has a lapful of Wangji, warm and sweet and insistent. Wangji's kisses are hot and unpracticed, and ruthlessly single-minded in the way that all of his actions are. It is not conducive to rational thought. Wangji sighs into his mouth. Lan Xichun thinks about following the sound back to its source, somewhere in the depths of Wangji's secret heart. There is so much that is precious and locked away there, even from him, even now. If he could lay Wangji's heart out like a scroll, if he could learn how to give him what he needs. "You are thinking," Wangji says. Lan Xichun manages to put two thoughts together. He puts his hand on Wangji's arm to hold him close, so he will know he is not rejecting. He is only trying to understand. "You haven't been drinking," Lan Xichun says. It is not a question. Wangji shakes his head. "The others were. I did remind them it was forbidden at first. Then it seemed less important." He also seems to be trying to string thoughts into a straight line. "It was the incense," he says. "Ah." That explains several things. It would have been both wiser and kinder of them to warn him before he'd inhaled several breaths of it himself. He supposes, because he truly believes all of their disciples to be well-intentioned, that they were simply too far gone by then to remember to do so. But it does explain things about his increasing inability to think clearly. There is a song in his blood, louder by the moment, and the notes are Wangji's delicate hands on his shoulders and the soft panting of his breath. But perhaps the accompaniment is an enchantment. Smoke and fragrance, flame and resin, something delicate that will not survive to morning. Perhaps it will burn through Lan Xichun and leave only ashes in its wake. "I should leave you, if you will be all right," he says, despairing at how little he means it. "You should not," Wangji says. And Lan Xichun is. He is trying to. He knows what he should do. He tries so hard to be the good person a future sect leader should be. But he is, after all, not so much older or wiser than the four foolish boys who lit the flame that's licking at his veins now. The song tells him it would not be good or kind or even possible to leave his Wangji wanting. The song tells him that he has practice at this. He is good at loving someone briefly and incandescently in one way that he is not permitted, and then forever in a gentler way that he is. Ming Chui was never going to be his. Future sect leaders do not marry. But he does not regret the love he held and still holds for his sworn brother, even once obligation and distance changed its form. The song tells him he will not regret this. He wonders what Wangji's song is telling him. Lan Xichun closes the small distance it takes to kiss his brother again. This time he presses with his thumb at the tender place under Wangji's jaw, encourages him to open up further, licks his way inside Wangji's willing mouth, and drinks every sound he finds there, taking them all inside himself to feed the song. His body hums with pleasure, right down to his bones. One of the cups does not survive the sweeping motion that it takes to stand without letting go of Wangji. "Let it be a sacrifice," he thinks. "Let it be the only ruin." Wangji was clever to have done the things that require fine motor skills earlier. Lan Xichun's fingers tangle in his own hair, failing to complete motions he's done without thought thousands of times. Wangji kneels up to help him remove the silver from his hair and sets it down with great care. He looks very grave, as if he is performing a service,
as if he is the one tasked with taking care of Lan Xichen. Lan Xichen would feed his heart to his brother if he asked for it. This has always been so, a truth baked into his bones since they were small together. He is the one who takes care, but it is not terrible to let himself be cared for, briefly. While the world is still upside down anyway, while everything is slightly unreal, he can allow this. He breathes through the stubborn tides of his wanting as Wangji unties the belt of Lan Xichen's outermost robe and pushes it back from his shoulders with sure hands. He doesn't know his eyes have fallen closed until he feels Wangji's fingertips, delicate at his temples, barely there. An unspoken question. Are we in this together? He opens them, and Wangji is so close, too close to do anything but answer him the way he wants to be answered. "You have always been so beautiful," he says, and kisses his brother again. And this time he does not have to suggest or coax. Wangji's mouth opens to him like 100 spring flowers, 1,000 dream doorways, 1,000,000 throats singing the same song that throbs in Lan Xichen like a second pulse. Wangji shifts into place where he fits beautifully, kneeling over Lan Xichen's thighs, trusting his weight to his brother to hold up and steady, an arm around Lan Xichen's neck and the other touching anything within reach. Lan Xichen's throat, his shoulder, his nipple through fine fabric. It is not a body part that is particularly sensitive for him, but his entire body is smoke now, swaying and responsive to the slightest stray breeze, and he shudders and ducks to rest his head against Wangji's neck for 2 shaky breaths. The skin there is smooth, unmarred by the marks of even the minor infractions other disciples might bear. Even Lan Xichen, who has rarely stepped so far astray as to be caught, wears more fine, ancient scars on his skin than this. He is suddenly, violently aware that he will not turn any of the 4 disciples in for their misdeeds. If someone else does, he will cover for them. Lie as blatantly as he needs to. With a surge of hot, desperate lust, he realizes that he knows exactly what he could say without it even being a lie. The light where the Lan rules have left a space for blatantly untrue honesty. In the morning, if someone reports the disciples, he could look Lan Chen in the eye and say, "I addressed it with Wangji privately. I put him on his knees and dealt with his behavior as he deserved." It could be the truth. He's barely been aware of his cock in all of this. Whatever the incense has done to him or woken from where it already slept, it's a full body experience, and not one concentrated only in the most banal of places. But the thought of Wangji on his knees reminds him that it is there, and pressed up against Wangji, and desperate in its own way. "Let me," he manages to gasp, and bears Wangji backward and down, underneath him, where he can imagine that he might keep him forever. It is for the best, probably, that Wangji turns out not to keep a discreet pot of oil in his bedchamber as many of the boys do. Wangji is still shockingly new to his own body, something Lan Xichen keeps being reminded of with shattering clarity, as they find out, together, what makes him squirm and sigh and bite his own lip just so. This is not, even if it is the only time, even though he asked, even if it is Wei Wuxian and not Lan Xichen who will have the privilege of Wangji's further discoveries, a thing to rush through. Wangji deserves better. Still, Lan Xichen is aflame, and he knows now about the soft place above Wangji's hip that elicits a soft and utterly broken-sounding moan, and he is not sure he would have been a good enough man not to fuck his little brother senseless had the means been at hand. He is good enough, at least, that even when addled with whatever back-alley magic the Yunmeng and Nie boys have been homebrewing, he will not risk hurting Wangji with spit and a prayer. In the end, he swallows Wangji down, hands on his hips to guide him to gentleness when he is too frantic to be careful on his own. Lan Xichun is too unpracticed himself to accommodate Wangji's cock as far as he would like to. A man who will be the future leader of his people does not have much leeway to go to his knees for them, or even let them do the same for him. It has been some time. He would like to give Wangji everything, but the body has its own limits. He has not trained for this. He has not let himself imagine it might be necessary. After, Wangji scrabbles at his hair too roughly to pull him up too fast, nearly sobbing through a series of wild kisses. Wangji, stolid, steady Wangji, is a mess in his arms. Lan Xichun will never tell anyone about this. He will never forget it. He will, he thinks, grow old and die with this memory engraved on his heart. The song tells him he has done well, that he has taken the necessary care of Wangji. It throbs in all of his limbs, flutters in his chest. He's dimly aware that he hasn't had any release himself yet, but it feels secondary at the moment. He gathers Wangji close and presses him against that flutter. He imagines he could fold them so closely together they would never have to part. There is a place there where he has always cherished Wangji above everything else. If he waits, if he is still and good and lets the fire in his body subside, perhaps all the different yearnings in him, all the ways he loves Wangji, will swirl together in that heat and forge themselves into something new and pure. Wangji is calmer now. He shifts and mutters sweetly, sated.
You haven't.
He trails off, resting a hand on Lan Xichun's hip. It burns like a brand. Later, Lan Xichun says, and lets himself stroke Wangji's shoulder again to pull him closer still so their legs can tangle.
Let's rest for a while.
Wangji wriggles, and for a moment Lan Xichun thinks it is already over. He'll get up and pull his robes back on and be gone. That they are in Wangji's bed does not feature into this sudden fear, which is not born of logic. But Wangji is only moving far enough apart to study Lan Xichun's face. He can imagine what he must look like, flushed with not yet satisfied physical desire and utterly satisfied love. Hair must from Wangji's fingers. He cannot imagine what Wangji can read, or might fail to read, in the set of his jaw or his eyes. Wangji shakes his head very slightly, as if he is not entirely happy with whatever it is.
I am not sorry,
he says, distinct and careful, each word its own force.
I will not regret this.
Lan Xichun is certain that he means it. He is less certain that it will remain true in the cold light of dawn. But that will come whether he wills it to or not. There is no rush to meet it.
I want you to be happy,
he says, which has always been true and always will be, whatever else changes between them. Wangji does not look convinced, but he lies down again and lets Lan Xichun gather him close.
I am happy now.
He says, lips moving in the soft hollow at the base of Lan Xichun's neck. His breath tickles. Lan Xichun tips his chin up to give Wangji more space, and he nestles there, pressing kisses into Lan Xichun's chest.
I am happy.
His lips shape there, silent against the skin, over and over, as if by saying it enough, it will be true. Lan Xichun understands the words, even though Wangji does not make another sound. Helplessly, despite everything, he is too. He typically wakes all at once and fairly ready to face the day. But when the bed shifts and creaks, Lan Xichen finds himself swimming up through a fog. His head feels heavy. He drifts and listens to the sounds before he quite puts them together. Rustling. Wang Qi drawing a clean robe on and doing something with the wreck of his hair. A clear sound like a waterfall. Wang Qi pouring two cups of water, and then a gulping sound as he drinks one quickly. His light, bare footfalls, and a door sliding partway open. A shiver of dissipating energy washes back into the room as Wang Qi dispels the remnants of Lan Xichen's silencing spell. His voice is low but clear as he speaks to someone he appears to have summoned from nearby. Lan Xichen feels guilty for listening, but there is nowhere he can go, and it is hardly the worst of his sins.
Zhou Jun and I were up very late working on a cultivation problem,
Wang Qi says, a shameless lie that snaps Lan Xichen's eyes open for a moment.
We'll be in seclusion today, continuing to study. Will you have our meals brought and see that we are not otherwise disturbed?
Lan Xichen thinks he hears the person outside stammer. It's not surprising. That may be the most Lan Wang Ji has spoken to anyone but immediate family in months. The door slides shut again, and Lan Xichen feels the new silencing talisman go up. He feels Wang Ji pick up the second cup of water and come over to the bed. He feels nervous, raw, as if he is waiting for a terrible blow. Wang Ji sounds calm, but Lan Xichen knows that can be deceptive. Wang Ji is not a good liar, or Lan Xichen had not thought he was until a moment ago, but he can bear all manner of hurts without blinking. He learned it too young, and Lan Xichen was not able to prevent the lesson. Wang Ji sets the water down within Lan Xichen's reach and says,
I hope I did not overstep,
as if he is continuing a conversation that was already underway. Caught out, Lan Xichen opens his eyes again. He cannot help himself from drinking in the sight of Wang Ji all at once. Less rumpled than he was, but no less lovely.
You could not,
he says, and forces his body, reaction slowed by a beat. Still a bit tired, he notes automatically, to sit up and to drink the water. Perhaps he should send someone to check on the other three. But then, they are more used to the after effects of illicit substances. Wang Ji looks tired too, just slightly around the edges of his eyes. But he does not, Lan Xichen thinks. He hopes. Look upset.
I thought,
Lan Wangji says, and then pauses. He appears to be ordering his thoughts, his words no longer flowing as easily as they did last night when his tongue was loosened. Lan Xichen waits for his brother's verdict.
I think we will need to talk,
Wangji says finally.
But that perhaps it could wait a little while longer.
He does not wait for an answer. He crawls over Lan Xichen, very nearly ungainly, a thing Lan Xichen was not sure his brother knew how to be, to reach the space left for him on the opposite side. Once there, Wang Ji sighs and melts into the bed, and then he turns and shifts and reaches out. He pulls Lan Xichen close until they are pressed tightly again, his head tucked under Lan Xichen's chin, his body cradled in Lan Xichen's arms. He doesn't say anything further, as if he has run out of words and energy all at once. He still feels good there, warm and right, where Lan Xichen could protect him from anything that would try to harm him. Maybe Wang Qi will fall asleep again. He deserves to rest. Lan Xichen could watch over his sleep. After several long breaths, one of Wang Qi's hands slides up to rest over Lan Xichen's heart. He taps at a rhythm that takes only a few repetitions for Lan Xichen to decipher. It's the same rhythm as the words he pressed to that same spot the night before. The same ones Lan Xichen fell asleep thinking.
I am happy. I am happy.
Lanzi Chen doesn't know what that means exactly. There are, as Wangji said, clever, kind Wangji, who is trying to make a very complicated thing easy for Lanzi Chen. Things to say. But nothing is broken. Wangji is here with him, and nothing is broken, and the day is new. There is no enchantment in Lanzi Chen's blood, and no song but heartbeats and breaths, and the insistent tap of Wangji's fingers over Lanzi Chen's heart. As if he is Wangji's guqin, just starting to thrum and warm under his hand. Lanzi Chen closes his eyes and holds Wangji, and waits to find out what song they will play together. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.